The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How should New Testament churches conduct a Lord's Supper meal? That is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. And in fact, I hope to hear from you. I hope that you would consider sending your own questions in for Bob and Sean. Who knows? Maybe you'll finally stump them. You can reach out to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus, whether it's listening on your phone or your computer, or maybe you're listening in your car on the radio as you're driving. We really appreciate you guys turning in. And I'd like to know how you're listening to us. Why don't you send us an email, radio@faithalone.org, and just tell us, where are you listening from? What city? Because we want to do conferences. We want to reach out to new people in your area. If there's a bunch of people who are all listening in this one city, we'd love to reach out and do an event there or maybe do radio there. We want to be where our listeners are. So let us know. Send us a note about where you're from. All right, here's a question from James, and it's about some things that I've written about the Lord's Supper, but you've written as well. Basically, the argument that we've made, and Bob Ryan has made this argument at the 2020 conference, I think. You can listen to it on YouTube online, is that the Lord's Supper was originally and is meant to be an actual supper.
Yeah, you know, let me just pause there for a moment and say, when it's called the Lord's Supper, that could be a clue.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of people may be confused when they get crackers and juice and say, man, this is a really small supper.
Right. It's really a symbolic meal.
And you've written before, Dapnon means meal. It means a supper.
You know, that was pointed out to me by Bob Ryan. I don't know. I just never thought about it. And when you look at descriptions of the Lord's Supper, let's say in 1 Corinthians, it's interesting when you think about how many elements there are. Paul says, and he's kind of reporting what Jesus did, it's like they take the bread and then they take the cup after supper.
Right.
So it's actually three elements, bread, cup, and supper in between. And Bob Bryant kind of pointed this out. And since then, I've done a lot of research into it. And it turns out this is an open secret among Bible commentators. They all recognize, they ate a full meal together. They ate these full meals regularly. And this is what the Lord's Supper was. It was a traditional Jewish family meal with lots of parallels with just a Greek meal. It would always start off with the bread and it would have the blessings and they'd eat and it would finish with a cup of wine. And this is widely known among commentators, and it has made absolutely no impact or very little impact on the practice of the churches, even churches that claim to be biblical, except Victor Street. There are exceptions, like your church, Victor Street does it that way.
We have an actual meal, and this has been going on for about 50 years there. Cypress Valley Bible Church and Marshall, Bob Bryant's church, they do that. And there are other churches that have picked up on this and have been doing it. I mean, look, I rejoice in churches that partake of the juice and the bread every week. Even if they have no meal, I'm rejoicing that they're remembering the body and blood of Christ every week.
Right.
I rejoice in churches that do it once a month.
Right.
I think that's great. But it's sad when you have churches that do it like once a quarter in the evening. And so most of the people aren't ever taking the Lord's Supper.
Right.
So it seems to me we need to, some people call it the remembrance meeting.
Yeah.
And I like that as well, because we're remembering the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. I mean, one of the things that Bob Bryant has kind of pointed out to me in that talk, but has since been confirmed by all the commentators that I've read, is that when the Christians came together to worship, the meeting of the church was centered around a meal.
Well, you know, Sean,
no, and that changes drastically what Christian worship is like, because the church, I've been visiting a church for the past few weeks, and basically the church is kind of like, the church that I'm attending is, they have the Lord's Supper, they celebrate with a little bit of cracker and juice every week, but the service itself is basically almost like going to like a small club and listening to like a rock band play. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's kind of what the worship service is, and then it's followed by kind of like a lecture. But that's radically different than what the New Testament Christians did when they met together around a meal and then talked about the Lord Jesus around a meal. Radically different.
Well, I have a feeling that if any of the apostles were to be dropped into the 21st century into your typical evangelical church, they would be, assuming, let's say that God gave them the ability to understand the language in the church they were in, whatever country of the world they were in, they would be shocked.
They'd be like, wow, I don't recognize this.
And if they were told this is Christianity, they'd go say, what?
And I think they'd have that reaction whether they went to the most high liturgical Gothic cathedral with liturgy and the priests and the deacons and the incense and the altar and the vestments.
Well, that would confuse them even
They'd
more.
Be like, wow, what is this? But also, I think coming to like my little intimate rock concert type setting, they'd also be like, what is going on here? They'd probably say, hey, this music is really good, but what's up here?
Right, and the preaching, although they probably, if the preaching was solid, they would appreciate that.
They'd be like, oh, yeah, we do that sometimes in public.
But what they would be surprised is, where's the interaction? How come the men aren't all participating?
Yeah, they'd be like, where is the all ministry happening? But here, that brings me to the question here. Okay, this brings me to the question. This is from James. And he says, shouldn't our goal be truth without unnecessary nitpicking? We would be in keeping with the spirit of what Paul was teaching if every weekly service included a simple meal and a moment of remembrance that includes the symbols of wine and bread. But turning the meal into a big event makes it a burden and a distraction. People would arrive hungry, focused on the food, which Paul warned against. So why not let each participant pack his lunchbox with chips and a sandwich and show up prepared to worship? Yeah, what do you think about that? Like, James isn't pushing back against the idea of having a meal.
Well, actually, I think James is closer to what actually happened in the New Testament church, because in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says that some are eating and some are hungry, some are getting drunk, and others have nothing to drink. And he says, can't you eat in your homes?
Yeah, if you're going to do that, eat at home.
And so his point was that this is not going to be a four-course meal. This is going to be a meal, but it's not going to be something where you're getting gluttony and you're getting stuffed.
Yeah, this isn't like a catered event with, all the courses, and it's like going to a high-class restaurant. That's not what was happening.
And it also doesn't sound like the church is providing all the food. People are bringing their own food. That's why the rich people had plenty to eat and plenty to drink.
Yeah.
And the poor people, their own servants, had nothing to eat or drink. And so, yes, I think it would be fine. The Bible doesn't tell us it has to be that way, but the implication seems to be
that it's a potluck.
It's a potluck, or you just bring the food for yourself.
Right.
But I think the potluck idea is what we've gone to at Victor Street.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fine idea. But if you wanted to set it up where people brought a sandwich and chips, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. So long as you're eating together and talking about the Lord together and remembering what he did together around the supper, right?
Yeah, exactly. And at our church, we for years had our Lord's Supper meeting at night and the Bible teaching hour in the morning. And now we're even considering maybe moving it to where we have the Lord's Supper first as a breakfast.
Yeah.
Which is more typical in Brethren churches, by the way.
Right.
But now we're going to be having a Lord's breakfast. Well, I don't think we need to press it so much that we say it has to be an evening meal or it has to be after 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a meal. You know, we're talking about maybe even going to like a breakfast sandwich.
Right.
You're not
going
to get a huge thing. You know, the bread to start, then the sandwich, some teaching, comments and questions from the men, and then we'll have the juice, and then we'll have a time of singing.
You're
and
not
going to
have wine for breakfast?
No wine for breakfast. I'm not a wine bibber.
I take James's point. If the meal, if someone is thinking, okay, this is going to be Lord's Supper, that means we have to go through and we have to hire a professional chef and we have to get a $100,000 commercial grade kitchen into our buildings in order to do this, and it becomes a big distraction and becomes a big display of wealth, or then that is opposite the Christian principle here.
Right. In the early church, some say half or more of the people were slaves.
Oh, I've read that upwards of 80% of the people in the ancient world lived in what we would call below the absolute poverty level. They weren't just poor. They were the poorest of the absolute poor.
Right.
Very few Christians at that time, from what I've read, would have owned homes or met in homes. Those are the elite.
And
of the
none
elite.
Of them had cars.
They definitely didn't have cars.
They didn't have cars.
Hey, this is my latest version of
none of them had a microwave.
This is my Ford Donkey or something like that. I don't know. Most of them lived in...
A Ford Donkey?
I don't know.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I don't
all
know.
Right.
Donkey, that was a... Not, anyways, I don't know.
It's a Maverick.
Yeah, it's a Maverick.
Or a Mustang.
A Bronco. My Bronco, but it's an actual Bronco. But they would have been poor. They lived in tenement apartments, basically, just slums, like ghettos,
right.
basically. And so all they would have had was just a little bit of food, and they would have had this potluck together. But, man, they were eating together. They were talking together. They were sharing life together as this new family of God. And it's that intimacy, that interaction, that ability of letting everyone kind of share around a meal, building each other up, using each other's gifts. That's what's kind of lacking in modern churches, which have mostly been turned into... passive people in the pew watching people do ministry, and that's not really what the Bible talks
right.
about.
And, a big catchword today is community. Well, you experience community more when you share a meal together.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a time of fellowship. And so James's idea is super.
Oh, absolutely.
That's fine.
This is a great way to do it. Everyone just bring your brown bag, your lunch. Bring your lunch together and just eat together. I know churches do this.
Right.
I mean, churches do. They do this in small groups. Baptists, of course, love potlucks on Sundays and stuff like that. I mean, people do that.
Except they don't call them luck. They don't like the word potluck. What do they
well, they
call
don't,
it?
They call it a potluck, but
no.
I guess they haven't thought about the implications. Are they gambling? You are kind of gambling when you go to a potluck.
Oh, you are.
Sometimes you're pot out of luck, depending on who's cooking. But brown bagging, that's what an easy way for any church to kind of incorporate the meal back into the service.
Right.
Don't you think? So
yeah.
I take James's point. I mean, it should not be a big to-do. That is against the biblical kind of spirit of it. It can be simple, but do it simply together.
Right.
Well, James, thanks so much for that question. If you want to read more about this, I have we have several articles about the Lord's Supper. There's a series of articles by Bob Ryan on our website that you can look up. Just look up Lord's Supper and Bob Ryan, and you'll find them. And keep on sending your questions, just like James did, to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about serving God despite having disabilities. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.